Blog Talk Radio.
Abundance Radio Network. I am your host, Layla Herr, and on today's episode, I'm incredibly excited to interview my very good friend and internationally acclaimed speaker, writer, radio and television personality, the Vitality Doctor, Dr. Marilyn Joyce. Dr. Marilyn is one of the world's leading authorities on nutrition and lifestyle for the prevention and overcoming of cancer and other degenerative illnesses. For almost 40 years, Dr. Joyce, a registered dietitian, has been inspiring audiences around the world as an inspirational and motivational seminar leader and keynote speaker. In 1985, Marilyn's entire world turned upside down. She was diagnosed with cancer, not just one form, but with two. Within a few days, nothing in her life made sense. By 1989, she found herself at 88 pounds, in a wheelchair, with less than 2 weeks to live. That was then. Today, and for the past almost 2.5 decades, Dr. Joyce has inspired audiences around the world as a motivational and inspirational speaker. She is known by all as the Vitality Doctor and has transformed the lives of thousands of people who have attended her seminars, bought her books and tapes, or been coached with her. With almost 40 years of experience at the forefront of nutrition, health, and education, Dr. Marilyn approaches everything she does from a holistic perspective. The founder and creator of both Vibrant Health Academy Unlimited and her Kick Cancer in the Can Total Health Toolkit, as well as being a master of yoga, Dr. Joyce addresses nutrition and lifestyle issues from a multifaceted perspective, fully incorporating her extensive knowledge, experience, and expertise as an RD with a background in biochemistry and human nutrition, combined with her doctorate in psychology and nutrition. A television and radio personality on such diverse shows as Doctor to Doctor, Lisa, Montel Williams, Maury Povich, PBS Essentials, and Jenny Jones, Dr. Joyce has authored the best-selling books 5 Minutes to Health, I Can't Believe It's Tofu, and Instant Energy, the 5 Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality, the most comprehensive guide to whole person health available today. The former director of nutrition for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, she is also a cancer survivor, now thriver. Her seminar and coaching clients include Xerox, the FBI, Girl Scouts, Boeing, UCLA, Universal Studios, the Scripps Medical Center, Sloan Kettering Medical Centers, and the American Cancer Society, just to name a few. Dr. Joyce has been featured in numerous national and international magazines, including Cosmopolitan, Women's Day, Fit, Allure, Elle, First for Women, Holistic Health, Arthritis Today, and Healthy and Natural. She is also a regular feature writer and the health editor for New Perspective Journal and has been for the past two decades. As you're about to discover, Dr. Marilyn's expertise and passions in life include speaking on the power of prevention, nutrition, and lifestyle practices, and making complex information extremely easy and user-friendly, doable in 5 minutes or less. And the best part, Dr. Joyce is the master of 5-minute healthy instant energy strategies that anyone can do anywhere, anytime. Dr. Joyce's slogan is, "If it can't be done in 5 minutes, it ain't gonna be done by me," which fits me perfectly, and I am sure many of you who are listening too. It is with great pleasure that I introduce to you now Dr. Marilyn Joyce. Dr. Marilyn, welcome to the show. I am so pleased that you're joining us today.
Well, I am thrilled to be joining you, Layla. This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we've just embarked on spring, and so honestly, I feel that our show today is going to be a really great testament to the saying spring cleaning, an internal spring cleaning. And we're not just talking about cleaning out our personal environment, but starting at the core and working on cleaning out and creating positive change within ourselves, and I guess healthy change too, right?
Absolutely. It starts from the inside out. I mean, this is the issue that we have got it all backwards in our culture, where we believe that we can do it from the outside in.
Absolutely. And that is the truth. We're so focused on the cosmetics, but we forget about what's inside and how that we have to start at that core and start from the inside to go out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if your cells are vibrating from the inside out, Layla, then you will vibrate on the outside. And that is something, yeah, we see it all the time with people who are really healthy, who are taking care of themselves. You know, everything that they put in radiates back out. But when you try to cover it up from the outside, you're just, you know, it's just a mask that once the mask comes off, oh, my gosh.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I've known people who, you know, have been very active. They've been joggers and they've been, you know, they seem to be the ultimate, you know, poster child for health. And yet they've come down and they've gotten sick. They've had heart attacks or they've come down with cancer. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You know, with that said, what would you say that the number one health challenge is today in all age groups?
It's an energy deficit for sure. You know, you just have to look around. I, over the years, I've gone into the school systems, and I speak for free to the kids, you know, try to help them get a grip on what healthy choices look like for kids. And they'll be rolling their heads on their desk at 10:30 in the morning. They're so tired.
Yes.
You know, so.
Well, I remember that even for myself when I was in school.
Yeah.
You know, I would be, but, you know, 10:30, I was just like, oh, gosh, when is this day going to be over?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's getting worse each decade because when you look at kids today, their breakfast consists of those Pop-Tart things or chips and soda. I mean,
exactly.
Those are party foods. You shouldn't be having party foods for breakfast.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, I mean, like even, you know, within my own family, you know, I have a sister-in-law and she used to, you know, she used to pop her kid down with those Vienna cocktail sausages. And that was her dinner. And in the morning, she would have all those sweet cereals that you buy. In fact, you know, when I first came to this part of the world, I was stunned with, first of all, how big the cereal aisle was. And then you would have things that have chocolate and you would have things that had marshmallows and all of this different artificial colorings and flavorings. And that's not what I grew up with. You know, in Hong Kong, it was very limited. We had just the shredded wheat. We had the cornflakes, the Rice Krispies. And I think I remember when the Life brand, Mikey on the cover there, when he came in. And that was a rare treat for me to have. And I mean, we did have Fruit Loops, but that was kind of the only really sugar one that, you know, cereal that we ever had. But over here, it's just amazing. When I came down to America, even from Canada, just that jump from, you know, you're on the same continent, but yet there seems to be such diversity. There's these huge bags that I don't even know how people can go through these huge bags of nothing but sugar.
Well, that's the problem. We've got so many people that are addicted to sugar, and they can't survive without it now. And yet what they do is they constantly have these sugar highs followed by deep sugar lows. And it's just that up and down spike, you know. You can't live on sugar. You need food that will sustain your blood sugar level throughout the day. And that includes, you know, wholesome carbohydrates, proteins, and healthy fats.
Right. And
of course, activity.
Right. Of course, activity. Because nothing makes you more tired than doing nothing.
Right. Exactly.
And we talk about these sugar highs, and we see so many things now with these energy drinks that seem to give people it seems to me like there's nothing but just pure sugar in there, and you drink these drinks, and you have this boost of a high for a few minutes. And then you crash. And to me, I don't think it's anything more than like a soda.
It can be worse than a soda in many respects because it may have way too much caffeine, you know. And you know, typically some sodas like Coke and Pepsi have a high level of caffeine. But when you start getting some of these energy drinks, they'll often add huge amounts of caffeine to it, to like the Red Bull, for example.
Right.
And, you know, we know about people who've had Red Bull and alcohol and dropped dead. You know, the body couldn't handle it. So we have to be really cognizant of the fact that these are not the solutions. The solutions are getting back to what the healthiest cultures in the world eat. And I mean, one of the things that has been so profound is that National Geographic study where, well, it was written up in National Geographic, where it looked at the blue zones, the cultures where people live over 100 years of age and have all their body parts intact. They don't have plastic tubing to their heart, they don't have somebody else's heart, and they don't have a pig's liver. You know, they have their own organs, and they are, and they're working into their, you know, their hundreds at things they love to do, or just because they've always worked and they don't know any other way to be. And they don't go to gyms. They exercise naturally through walking and dancing and social activities and biking and swimming and all those natural things that we've kind of lost track of. And so here we are. We're trying to supplement with all these extra things instead of just getting back to the basics that have kept people alive and healthy for decades and centuries and, you know, millennium.
Right. And you know, you, as you nowadays, especially like on social media, I know that for myself, I get a lot of information on my newsfeed that seems people understand this and people are talking about this. But what stops people from doing what they need to be doing to be healthy and vital every day of their life?
Great question. You know, I ask that question when I do my seminars, my live seminars, and in my webinars, I'll often ask it, and I'll say, you know, what is it that stops people? And the answers are quite regularly, too confusing, don't know what's true and what's not true, inconvenient, takes too much time, costs too much money. Many of those are actually mistaken beliefs once people understand the truth. But on the surface, it appears that way. So, you know, an example I'll often give is, you know, you go to the fast food place, and I have a client who, I always tell the story about her. I don't mention her name because she might get upset. If she's in the audience, I would mention it, you know. But she but she said to me, Marilyn, the problem I have is that I have all the intentions to go to the grocery store and get the healthy foods that are fast foods that I talk about, you know, hummus and cut up vegetables and salsa and things like that, right? So I say, you know, instead of going to the drive-through, go there. But she said, every time I get to the drive-through, my car just has a mind of its own and it turns into McDonald's or whatever this fast food place is. You know, people are so accustomed to just driving into the drive-through that even though their intentions are good, they get distracted because they see this long line of cars. So what I say to people is, why would you go and sit for 20 minutes to get a bunch of dead food? And then by the time you pay for it and get home with it, it's cold anyway. And those French fries or whatever they're supposed to be that aren't real, they're like hard little crispy things instead of what they were initially. And this is what you're getting, you know, and it's cold. Whereas if you were to go to the, you know, the grocery store, it doesn't even have to be a health food store. Just go to the grocery store and get, you know, read your labels, which is what I teach my clients how to do. It's really easy once you learn. Just the least ingredients, the better, of course. And then you buy healthy things that are already prepared. You can buy salad in a bag. It's already. You just throw the veggies in a bowl, and I don't like the salad dressing much that they have, but in a pinch, if you get the good one, like the Caesar one or the, you know, something that's got a little better dressing included, you've got a salad in a bag. Better than that, of course, would be to get the lettuce in a bag, go home and make your own salad dressing in your blender, which can take you all of 10 minutes at most. You know, if you have
exactly
the ingredients at most.
Yeah.
I make all my own salad.
Yeah, that's the same thing as myself. I mean, 10 minutes at most, I couldn't even believe it taking 10 minutes because for me it takes maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah. I usually make two different dressings so I don't, you know, I don't have to wash my blender. Or I have a Vitamix, but I don't have to wash it in between. And then I can just, you know, throw it. And because I have a Vitamix, I don't even have to cut up stuff. I just take a whole lemon as long as it's organic. I wash everything, of course, but I throw in a whole lemon and I take the ginger. I just wash it and throw it in. I don't even cut it up. I don't peel it. Onion, you know, I take off the outside flaky stuff and just throw it in. You know, I don't have to cut up anything. I just throw it in, add some other ingredients like, you know, organic apple cider vinegar and maybe some, you know, Bragg's liquid aminos. And gosh, I don't know. I've got like 20 or 30 recipes in my instant energy book that are all healthy and all delicious. But, you know, you can throw together something simple like I just mentioned in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, especially if you have a machine that, you know, you don't have to cut stuff up to put it in. And you don't have to throw anything out. You're getting all the goodness. Like, for example, with the lemon, even with a blender, I've used a really good blender, and I've been able to just, I might have to cut the lemon in quarters, but as long as it's organic, you can get, you throw in the seeds, the skin, and the fruit, and get the goodness of everything.
Right. Something that you said, you know, you wash the skin. Now, something I heard a few weeks back was someone was saying that actually what you shouldn't do is wash the skin. If you're buying organic, you should just be brushing it. Do you know much about that as far as brushing?
I agree with that. I mean,
can you talk about that and explain that?
Absolutely. That's a great point, actually, Layla. Now, here's the thing. I believe that you have to wash off everything just in case there's some bacteria or contaminants. You know, people have handled it.
Right.
You know, so you've got, unless you're pulling it off a tree. Now, if you're going to somebody's place and it's only your hands that are going on it, and you wash your hands ahead of time, then by all means, you know, you don't need to really wash it. I mean, but you do need to rinse it. I mean, you need to at least put some water over it to get the dust off of it. Nothing like, I mean, we have enough bacteria crawling all over us and within us without adding more dust mites to our system.
Right.
So, you know,
especially in Arizona.
Yeah, right, especially in Arizona or anywhere where there's a lot of dust everywhere, like where I live in California, too. You know, so the key is that I would rinse it off, but I wouldn't use any soap or anything. And I don't use soap anyway. What I use is a citric acid-based cleanser when I'm on the road that I get, you know, it's all natural. You can get it at Trader Joe's, I think, throughout the entire country. You can get it at Whole Foods, places like that. And you just use this vegetable and fruit wash to wash off the outside. So that's what I use when I'm on the road. When I'm at home, the simple strategy is to take, you know, that white distilled vinegar. It's not really white, you know, but we call it white vinegar. But it's, you know, that clear distilled vinegar that's good for washing cleans and washing floors and windows, not good for ingesting. And you just put, you put a half a cup of that. I mean, it's like we use that to make it pickles and relish and mustard and all those things. And I say to people, do not eat that stuff. It makes your body acid. But anyway, long and short of it is you use a half cup of that. Throw it into the basin and then fill it up with filtered water. Everybody should have filtered water in their home. And then, you know, basically you put your fruits and vegetables in there for a couple of minutes and then just use a brush and just, you know, or one of those green scrubby cloths to get the dirt off. And that's it. And then you rinse it off because you don't want the vinegar taste in your food. You just rinse it all off with more filtered water and then let it dry naturally on the counter on hopefully not paper towels, which are, use chlorine to bleach them, but instead use real hand towels that you use at, you know, or dish towels that you don't wash with chlorinated bleach, chlorinated laundry powder and stuff either. I mean, there's so many good alternatives out there, like seventh generation detergent, and it lasts forever. You know, it may be a little higher in price.
Sorry. What I was going to say is that you can actually buy seventh generation in places like Walmart now as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And because everywhere, it's wonderful.
It's absolutely fabulous, and it's so concentrated that you use less of it. That's what I love
absolutely.
About it.
Yes.
So yeah, right. It doesn't hurt your system, your plumbing system, and it doesn't hurt your personal inner plumbing system either.
Exactly.
So those are very key things.
And I also saying it's like, you know, a lot of we're talking about you know, things that are going on the outside, like we use, you know, like you're saying not to use a chlorine, the paper towels because they use a chlorine, and that does even though it's, you know, you're using it on the surface of your skin, that still gets absorbed into your body.
Oh my goodness, yes, our skin is 80% porosity. So anything that we utilize on our skin, and that includes if you're washing your clothes and your towels and washcloths and your sheets in chlorinated water, laundry detergent, and then chlorinated bleach, you know, it's like those are hazardous. And the other simple little things like coffee filters, if you're using coffee filters that are white, they're probably bleached with chlorine unless the company says on the package that it uses some other alternative. So I don't even use coffee filters, and I do drink coffee. I drink organic coffee, but I actually have a gold filter, and I've had it for years, and there's no chlorine involved in that. And you can get paper towels that don't have chlorine. You know, they're not bleached with chlorine. But, you know, there is the cost prohibitive factor for some folks. I always say to people, you know, when I think back to the cancer journey I went through, whatever money extra that it costs me now for those things, it's nothing compared to the cost of treatment when you're sick.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so it's, yeah. It's choices we need.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that don't realize that. You know, they go in and they've been using paper towels for years, and they don't realize that, you know, that's part of, you know, why we're getting sick today with the products that we're using, that we don't even realize what's in it and how it's affecting our bodies. We just think, okay, well, this is a really, you know, it's very either economical, it's convenient. And it's like for myself, I use cloth towels. I don't use paper towels. I use the cloth because, you know, it's like then I can wash it. I know what I'm washing it in. And I know that none of that, those chemicals that are in it are, you know, going to be ingested in my body, even through the skin absorption. And that was very interesting what you said also about the coffee filters because, again, like you said, you know, it's if it's white, it's probably being bleached with chlorine. So, you know, people don't realize how much of these toxins we're taking into our body on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that I've been talking about for so many years, decades now, and especially with the journey I went through. And so I'm always looking for alternatives for people because I know that people are going to be absolutely looking for alternatives. And one of the alternatives that I saw last year at the Natural Products Expo, and then I saw again this year, and in fact, I grabbed a bunch of them. I thought, yeah, I keep forgetting that I want to buy these. And it's called the reusable bamboo towel. It's bamboo-e, B-A-M-B-O-O-E-E. And it's eco-friendly, certified organic bamboo, and no chlorine. It is white, but it's not chlorine bleached. And it's reusable. And you can wash it in warm water. No fabric softener to be used for it, of course. Right. And do not use it in the dryer. And don't iron. But here you have it. And, I mean, I had one that I got last year that I've reused and reused and reused and reused and reused. I mean, it was like unbelievable how much I've reused it. And it's still working. It didn't fall apart. And they're just towels. Yeah, it is. So, you know, there are alternatives like that out there. And on the surface, absolutely, yes, it might appear to be more expensive. But paper towels, you use them once and throw them out.
Right.
With this kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. You can use these over and over. And there was a paper towel, and I don't have it in front of me right now. They didn't give us the you know, a roll of them for the media, and so I don't remember the name of it. But when I find the name, I can post it on Facebook or something. But the point is that they are coming out with things like this all the time now because people are becoming more aware, thank goodness. And I think it's really key to understand that there are alternatives. And like I said, and I'm going to repeat it, they appear more expensive on the surface, but when you consider that I got that cloth last year and I'm still using it this year, that's right. Amazing, and I use it a lot.
And
so,
go ahead. Okay. What I was saying is, I think that you know a lot of times, you know, people look at the instant what they're putting out instantaneously, and they don't look at the long term effects of what they'll actually be saving if they were to buy something that's reusable like that. So I know that I've been into Whole Foods, and for the past several years, I've seen in Whole Foods markets they've had the bamboo reusable or what they would call disposable, but it's reusable plates, and instead of using paper plates at a barbecue, that you use a bamboo. And bamboo is being used for a lot of things now. I bought a pair of bamboo socks a few years ago, and they're fantastic. There's, you know, you can. They're mainly for people who do a lot of sports, and so it absorbs the sweat without making your feet smelly. It's amazing, and it's very soft too.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that, bamboo is really an excellent product. And, I mean, it takes a long time to grow initially, but once it gets to a certain age, it just shoots up into the air. And, you know, so it's very, very, very good, easy on the environment to begin with, and really versatile for so many things. So,
wow.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's very versatile. I was actually trying to find that towel that I was talking about because I was sure that I brought an example back, but I'm not seeing it anywhere here at all in my office, which is unfortunate because it was really, that was another alternative that I thought, wow, this is really cool. She had this particular paper towel. The woman who demonstrated it had actually used it for 50 or 60 times, one piece of the paper towel, the roll of the paper towel, and it was still, it looked like new.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I say, you know, they're just new. They're out of Canada. Yeah, I found a lot of innovative things from Canada. I'm looking in my big bag of goodies here now, too. You know, all the information, you know, maybe it's there. But I have so much to go through. But, you know, the thing is that there were a lot of innovative things there that when you think about it, if we would just open our eyes and pay attention, there's just a wealth of innovative products out there. And we don't have to settle for the garbage that the big conglomerates are trying to sell us.
Right, exactly. And, of course, now we're talking about the garbage that the big conglomerates are trying to sell us. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, these things happening with the GMOs and how, you know, Obama just last week signed into effect the protection for Monsanto and GMOs.
Oh, that was appalling. That was absolutely, I put that out on Facebook. I was just absolutely shocked and stunned.
Yeah.
You know, it just lets you know who's in the back pocket of who. And
exactly.
I've been saying, yeah. I mean, from my perspective, and I've had quite a few guests on my own radio show where we've talked about this, you know, who's paying for what. And even in my book, Instant Energy, I talk about, you know, why organic farming. And I talk about the specific companies. There's 20 of them that are literally wreaking havoc with our planet, with our health, with our environment, everything. And if we don't stop them, it's ourselves to blame. Now, you know, the government can do what they want to do, but there's enough of us that if we got off our butts and really rallied together for something, not against something. I love what Mother Teresa said, when you're marching for something, I'll be there. If you're marching against something, I won't. And I'm really an advocate for that way of thinking, you know?
Yes, I am. I'm the same way.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
that's,
you know,
March.
You've mentioned a couple times your book, Instant Energy, and we've talked about how we live in a world really where people are looking for instant gratification. Like we say instant gratification, but people will sit 20 minutes in a line for going to McDonald's or something like that. And to me, that's not instant gratification, but, you know, they think it as being instant gratification. In fact, last night my husband and I were just at the supermarket and a woman in front of us had in the trolley, she had her little son, and she grabbed a bag of cookies that was right in the front there that they were promoting, and she grabbed it and she opened it right away and was giving it to her son so her son could eat the cookies while she was shopping. And my husband said, wow, what a way to teach the kid about instant gratification at this age. So I wanted to ask you, what exactly is meant by instant energy, and can we really have energy in an instant? And you know, what makes you the expert on the subject?
Very good series of questions there. Well, for one thing, having gone through being a cancer patient, and, you know, reaching as low as 88 pounds in a wheelchair, as you mentioned at the beginning, I was unable to do anything myself. And if anything that I did do took longer than 5 minutes, I probably wouldn't have been able to do it if I wanted to. I just didn't have the energy. Two, I had people that were taking care of me who were helping, trying to take care of me, and they didn't have a lot of time either. So it might be 5-minute fits and spurts of time that they would spend with me to help me. So everything that they did for me had to be done in 5 minutes or less. And so that's where, you know, that I really learned to going through the journey as a patient and, you know, watching the caregivers. And then as a caregiver for the past 24 years in my profession, I've learned that, you know, there are strategies that you can do that only take 5 minutes. So basically what I did over the years was back in 1970-71, I spent over a year and a half in India studying yoga. And I'd also studied yoga in other places in the world, but that's where I got, you know, certified. And then I had my yoga school, and I was really intensely involved in these long practices, you know, an hour in the morning of breathing, an hour in the morning of, and it was much more than that, the ashram, but, you know, in my world, an hour of asanas, you know, the movements, and, you know, everything was time consuming. And I raised two kids and went to school and worked full time doing all of that. And it, you know, I reached a point, when I went through the cancer journey where I couldn't do it. And after going through that journey, I didn't want to do that anymore. So I realized I had to come up with solutions that were good for me, but they would also be good for everyone else who complained to me that they didn't have any time or any money for all these things that people suggest to them that they need to do. So I became the master of the 5-minute strategy simply by personally doing them and personally teaching them to my patients and clients, it both within the institutions I worked in, as like the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and then in my private practice. And so what I found was that you could actually get a lot more done in 5 minutes than most people assumed. And can you have energy in an instant? Yeah, I call it instant gratification in my book. And the reason is because truly people can do a 5-minute jig on their rebounder, you know, jump up and down. They don't even have to do much. They don't even have to take their feet off the mat. They can do what we call the baby bounce on the rebounder and for less than 5 minutes, and they're going to feel rejuvenated. If you're stressed out, nothing beats either doing that or taking 5 minutes to put your feet up and just breathe in deeply, hold it for a count, and release it. So, you know, breathe in to a count of four, hold to a count of four, release to a count of eight. And if that's too hard for you, just start by doing four, four, and four, which is what I teach my clients initially. The ideal is four, four, and eight. But, you know, we build up to it. And if you can't even do that, if you start getting lightheaded with that, then we do two, two, and two. You know, but the main thing is to start somewhere, and within 5 minutes, you're going to feel like a new person. And so a smoothie takes 5 minutes to prepare. If you have the right foods in your refrigerator, I prepare a salad in 5 to 7 minutes now. And I put a lot in my salad. You know, I just put the whole thing in, everything but the kitchen sink. So, you know, it's like I eat a big salad every day. And so, you know, even cutting up vegetables, if you have the right vegetables, you just wash them, chop them, and you know, if you're smart, you'll make a few dips ahead of time. So I'll make my own hummus, and I'll make two or three different kinds of hummus, like a black bean hummus and a chickpea hummus and a pinto bean hummus, and I'll just make different hummuses and some guacamole fresh made and some, you know, salsa, and that stuff's ready to go. So you got veggies that it takes a couple of minutes to cut up, and you know, fast food on the go, there it is. Absolutely. And it's healthy and it tastes great. Nothing beats a carpet picnic. People always, they love coming to have dinner with me because it's never what you're traditionally going to get. You know, you're not going to get a big piece of steak on your plate with a baked potato and, you know, a piece of an iceberg salad on the side. No, you're right. Going to have a salad that's big with all kinds of good stuff on it. You can choose what you want to put on your salad because I don't, you know, if I have company, I know some people don't like this and other people don't like that. But, you know, then you make two or three dressings and then veggies and dip. And there's people love it. They rave over it.
Right. And it's so easy as well. It's so easy. Now, I know that you're predominantly a raw vegan. Can you explain to listeners what would you say is the benefits of being raw vegan as opposed to a vegan who eats predominantly cooked food?
Well, that's easy for me to say because I really find that, one, I found the difference enormous when I first transitioned. But when I was vegan before, you know, in the 80s, before I was diagnosed with cancer, I was actually vegan for 14 years, but I ate a lot of, you know, I was working in hospitals. You know, I was the administrator of different programs and so on. So I was eating a lot of cooked white rice because it was vegan And it was the only thing they had. At home, I only had brown rice. But when I was at the hospital, you know, that was what I got. And they predominantly had iceberg lettuce. And so, I mean, if a vegan lives on, you know, dead iceberg lettuce that has almost no nutrition and white rice, which is, you know, comparatively speaking to brown rice or wild rice, has very low nutrient density and turns to sugar in your system right away. You know, and you're eating muffins that are high fat, high sugar, and, you know, all those kinds of things that vegans tend to eat that are overprocessed to begin with. They might not be as processed as the stuff you buy in the store if you're making your own, but they're still not eating raw. Now, the difference is with raw food, you're getting not only the plethora, the huge amount of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, bioflavonoids, fiber, and the list goes on. You know, the phytonutrients are the big part of it that we didn't know much about in the 80s and early 90s, but now we know lots about them and we know how urgently important they are to your system. A lot of these things, especially the enzymes, get destroyed by heat and light. So, and it doesn't have to be very high heat. I mean, you just take from 108 to 112 degrees and you've killed all the enzymes in that food. So, you know, it's way higher heat than that you're boiling things at or baking things at. And if you're frying them, it's way higher. So the key is to eat as much raw as you can. And I know the average person probably wouldn't do what I do. I mean, I came from Canada, cold weather in the winter. And so, you know, soups were comforting foods. And I understand when somebody lives in a cold climate that they want stews of some sort. A veggie stew would be my choice if I was going to have it. But, you know, stews of some sort and soups of some sort. But in the warmer climates, you don't need that. And in the warmer seasons, you don't need to eat all that cooked food. And the raw food will provide you with all those thousands and thousands of nutrients. I mean, within a piece of broccoli, there's 13,500 phytochemicals and nutrients. I mean, a tomato has over 10,000 nutrients. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, when you think in terms of what a food contains compared to a vitamin pill that might have 50 or 60 nutrients if you're lucky, and it's all man-made versions of them. Here you are with real food. You're getting this bounty of nutrients, and you're getting the enzymes as well.
Right.
So that's why people who eat a predominantly raw food diet have this exuberant energy. Now, that there are people that, you know, we hear about the vegans who are pasty and white and sick, and you could say the same thing about a lot of meat eaters too, actually. They're pasty and white. Yeah, because they're acidic, whereas the vegan who is a raw food eater, I mean, you just have to look at people like David Wolf. I mean, they're bouncing off the walls with energy, right? The raw food man. You know,
exactly.
So, you know, and he's just one example. I bring him up because people have heard of him. But, I mean, there are tons of examples. Kevin Gianni, I think, is another one that I have watched, you know, over the years. He's done a lot of really good work. And he is raw food vegan as well. So, but the raw food vegan is obviously not eating all those processed muffins and bars and all the rest of it that the rest of the vegans are eating. That, you know, and I'm not against veganism, even if you're eating all that stuff, if it's for the right reason. You know, what are you doing it for? You choose your reason for doing it. It might be health for some, and it might be because they're trying to save the planet for others. For me, it's both. But the point is that you want to choose your foods that are going to be sustainable to the environment and sustainable to your system. And that's what overprocessed cooked foods don't do. So when I'm working with people, I'll often say, if you must have that, make it 20% and make the rest of your diet 80%. Or if that's still too hard for you, make it 70% of the, what you know, raw food, and the other 30% might be the more processed foods. You know, for example, tofu to me is a processed food, albeit if it's GMO free, it's a good protein source. But the point is that it's a very small part of my diet. What's a major part of my diet would be my choice. And because I'm on the road so much, it's not always easy to accomplish this, but it would be sprouted legumes. And the reason for the sprouted legumes versus just having the legumes is that when you sprout it, you release amino acids that are not bioavailable to your body in the bean form. But the minute you sprout it, you've released those amino acids. So now they're bioavailable in your system and usable by your body. So that helps the body to create more energy, the adenosine triphosphate, in the Krebs cycle, which is the energy production cycle in the body. In every cell of the body, there's a Krebs cycle, and that's where the energy is produced. It requires a huge amount of and a wide variety of B vitamins, vitamin C, and the plethora of other nutrients that are in the foods, the antioxidants, bioflavonoids, to produce energy. It's, you know, and the mistake is that people believe it's only one or two nutrients that are necessary. There are certain nutrients that are critical for the specific catalytic experience, you know, that has to happen. But the point is that overall, if you don't have the wide variety of nutrients, eventually in time, the systems break down. And that's why you find so many people with no energy today.
Right. And not only that, but it's like, it's very interesting how you said that about the, especially about the B vitamins, because I know that one of the first things that I learned as and was told to me when I went vegan was they said to me, make sure that you're at least taking a B supplement if you're not taking B fortified nutritional yeast every single day and everything else, because you're not, as a vegan, you're not going to get the B supplements that you need. And I've actually, my husband and I have never taken a B supplement because I've done the research to find, you know, what has it, because it's amazing what does have it.
Raw
foods. And also speaking about the energy, I've committed to going raw and, you know, seeing how it's going to affect me. Because I've done raw before, a little bit here and a little bit there, but I'm really committing to it because I've done a lot of research with the raw. So I started that on Monday. And the burst of energy that I had just in one day, you know, I started off my breakfast with a beautiful plate of, I took bananas and I took manila mangoes and I took strawberries and blackberries and I chopped them up and then I just added a handful of pecans to the top, and that was breakfast. And that sustained me right through till lunchtime, and I was really rushing around on Monday. So I didn't really have much time to sit down and make something to eat. So I took a handful of pumpkin seeds, and that sort of took me right through till dinner. And I made this huge salad. I'd taken wild rice the night before, and I'd put it in water and soaked it, and let it bloom. And so I used that as the base, and I added all kinds of vegetables in it and bean sprouts, and then I made a delicious dressing for it. And what I had done was I took some walnuts, raw walnuts, and I put it in a blender, and I blended it until it became almost like a walnut butter, and then I added mm-hmm. other ingredients to it. And it was a beautiful Asian infusion, because I added, like you said, the ginger with the skin on it, and I put garlic in there, and it was a beautiful Asian infusion. And I slept well that night, and I woke mm-hmm. up the next day with an amazing amount of energy. And it's just, you know, just in the one day, like I've heard Uri L. Kane sort of, you know, talking in his seminars and saying, you know, just do even one day and give it one day a chance and see how you feel after one day. And I've just been amazed, absolutely amazed, the amount of energy that is produced just from taking one full day of being raw.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things I say to people, even doing a 3-day raw detox. I have a whole detox program in my book, Instant Energy, and that detox program, people feel, even with just 3 days, because I recommend if you can do 7 to 10 days, good, at least once a year, preferably twice. But, you know, even if you did 3 days, it's amazing the burst of energy you have, because it's all natural, whole, raw food. And it makes a huge difference to your system. I mean, people always, honest to God, Layla, always say to me, I can't believe how much energy you have. And I mean, I'm in close to my mid-60s, you know. I have more energy than most people I know who are in their 20s.
Right.
And it's simply, I don't live a perfect life. I mean, I am not, I have the stresses everyone else has. And I, you know, I tend to, I have my coffee, of course, you know, because I love my organic coffee at least 3 or 4 days a week. You know, so there's, I'm not saying a lot. I don't sit here and drink coffee all day, but, you know, 1 or 2 cups in the morning. And it's not for anything any boost of energy. It's simply because I enjoy it. And that's the way I live my life. I have the things I enjoy. I make sure they're the highest quality, including chocolate, you know, that lovely dark chocolate. Every once in a while I break down and have it. But because I have the real thing, I don't need much. the reason right. people have so much of anything they, you know, whether it's coffee or chocolate or donuts or whatever, is because it's dead food. It has no life force. So you need more and more and more to try to satisfy that empty feeling
exactly.
that you have, craving. And with real food, you don't need that. And that's the beauty of it. And plus, you're getting all these life-giving nutrients so that are, you know, life force infused. And so you have life force, you know, radiating out from you.
Exactly. It's like you're living and you're taking in that which is living. And that can only give yeah. you that burst of more life that's coming out, right?
Absolutely. Exactly. I mean, that's one of the things I always say to people. This is a living body. It's a living body with made up of trillions of living cells. Those trillions of living cells have got to have living life force-based nutrients coming in order to right. continue to radiate their life force.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
It's so simple.
It is simple. It's just amazing how far we've you know, they always say that, you know, people overcomplicate things, and it is amazing to me how much in this day and age, you know, we are in the 21st century, and we've overcomplicated things, when if we were to just get rid of all this overcomplication, how simple everything is, and to just live simply, especially just in what we eat, and you know, like you're saying about the reusable bamboo cloth, the cloth to use
yeah.
and stuff like that. It's like, you know, and we would be so much more healthy, and we wouldn't be feeding money constantly to the pharma corps and the other mega corps that are out there that, you know, that are backed by government and everything else. And it just makes sense. And I just don't understand how people just don't get that.
I know. I totally agree. 100%. It's been my biggest, you know, my background is biochemistry initially, and then I went on and got, you know, my PhD in psychology and nutrition with an emphasis in psychoneuroimmunology, which is mind-body relationship to health. But I have to tell you, that background in biochemistry taught me that we do complicate things. I saw, you know, the complicated processes within the body, but you know what? The reason that I always got 100% on my biochemistry exams was that I saw the simplicity within the systems. It's not complicated, and people make it complicated. And, you know, when people talk the big jargon about how the body functions and so on, we don't really need to know that. I mean, I like knowing it because that's my background, and that's something I had a fascination with. But the average person just wants to know, what can I eat and what's it going to do for me? And I think right. we just need to get back to that explanation for the average person who just really, their background is simply, I want to be healthy and I want to live for a long time. With energy.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've talked
so much about energy, and you've established the word energy as an acronym. Can you explain to us, what is this acronym, and what does it stand for, and how did you come up with that?
Wow, I love that question, actually, Layla, because it was truly, when I wrote the book Instant Energy, I'll tell you, initially the book was going to be called Life Balance 5 Minutes at a Time. It was not going to be called Instant Energy. I was a health professional, and I was not going to use any kind of sensational terminology. But I got stranded over on the East Coast after a big meeting with Radio TV Interview Reports Group and one of the ex-producers for Oprah. And I was raked over the coals about the name of my book, Life Balance 5 Minutes at a Time. What the heck does that mean? And I thought, well, God, it's self-explanatory, right? But a lot
right.
of people don't really understand what life balance is. So, you know, we came up with all these different names, and I was, you know, my tail between my legs, I left there, and I was really ticked off. And I headed back to my hotel, and we had an ice storm that night. And I was stranded for 3 days in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I couldn't leave. And during that time, where we were all kind of locked down in the hotel, I decided, okay, let me put out I asked the hotel if they would go along with it. Can I put out a survey? And they agreed. So they said, sure, what the heck? We're stuck here. You might as well do something.
Right.
So I put together this survey, and I said, if you were going to buy a book, which title would you buy? And every single person except two, who went for Life Balance 5 minutes at a time. And I had about 5 or 6 or 7 different titles. I can't remember how many now. Everyone except two who picked Life Balance 5 minutes at a time picked Instant Energy, the 5 keys to unlimited energy and vitality. So that was enough for me. The book became that name. Now, I get the book done, and it's Thanksgiving morning at 4 o'clock in the morning in 2008. And I send it all off to the publisher, and I say, there, it's done. And I'm all set for the next day, not getting up early, and I'm going to luxuriate in bed. I've, you know, busted my butt to get this book done. I'm going to luxuriate. I had all my aromatherapy candles and essences and you name it, everything. And I had all kinds of fresh, raw veggies and made my hummuses, and I was all set to have a great, relaxing day in bed. And I'd also rented 8 movies, because back then you could still rent them at Blockbuster. Now you just go online and do it, right? But anyway, you can imagine, I went to all this trouble, right? So
right.
6 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours after I get to bed, I wake up with the epiphany, energy is an acronym, and I'm going, oh no, nope, universe, I am not interested. I'm going back to sleep. Of course, you know how it is when that happens. I couldn't
Absolutely.
Sleep a wink. Yeah. I jump out of bed, I come through, and I write out the acronym, and I send off an email to the publisher and say, hold the presses, and then I write it out in full, and I send it out to them and say, this is what I've come up with. Now, the first email I got back from them on Monday morning. It was either Monday or Tuesday, whenever the holiday weekend was over. The first email said, we're not holding up the presses. It's been too long already. And the second one came back and said, okay, start rewriting the entire front of the book because this is good. And what it was I had actually had this vision in my sleep of energy. Now, I have 5 keys. The word energy has 6 letters. So it's like it can't work. But it did. And it actually worked in the order that I teach. E is for exhale first. My assistant used to come in every day to work and say, I know, exhale first. So it was like an automatic. You can't inhale fully till you learn how to exhale fully first. So breathing through exhale first. N is for energy, for nutrition, excellence daily, not weekly or monthly or January 1st, but daily. The following E is for exercise for cellular rejuvenation. There's a specific form of exercises that rejuvenate you at the cellular level. So that was the second E. And then the next letter, R, is for one thing most people in the Western Hemisphere don't have a clue how to do without training, and that's rest, relax, rejuvenate. You know, it's like even sleeping is too much of a problem. I haven't got time to sleep. Yes,
that's
you do.
Right?
Right? And then the G is gratitude attitude. I've been talking about gratitude attitude for 24 years since I learned how to be grateful thanks to Dr. Bernie Siegel. So that was the G. Now we come to the Y. And when I work with anyone, it's your 5 keys. I have hundreds of strategies. It's a 441-page manual, all in very easy-to-read chapters, little chapters. But the fact of the matter is my book, Instant Energy, is 441 pages. So what basically we've got here is, you know, the hundreds of strategies. We pick the ones that you pick the ones that work for you. So it's your 5 keys. And that's what happened. It was like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. It actually, in the order that I teach, worked perfectly. So that was how it came about. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a challenge for you.
All right.
5 simple steps that can be done in 5 minutes or less that our listeners can immediately implement in their daily lives and increase energy instantly.
Well, that's a really great one because it's so simple. So we'll start with the exhaling first, exhale first, right? What I teach people are 2 strategies for that, but we'll just take the basic strategy of the yoga position, the sun salutation, because it stretches your body. You get up in the morning, it stretches your body, and you breathe at the same time. So it forces you to breathe with each movement. And I have that in the Fit In Fitness chapter, but basically what you're doing is you're inhaling and exhaling, but you exhale first. You have to blow out all the air. That's even the first step I learned when I was in India back in 1970.
Right.
So you exhale all the air first, and then you begin the process, right? So you exhale, bring your palms together, and then you begin the entire process, raising your arms up, breathing in, and then going down, breathing out. So the whole 12 movements, you start with the exhale first and then breathe in and out throughout the entire sequence of 12 movements. So that's the one thing that I teach my clients immediately is that. And I actually have on my transformstressnow.com blog, if you put in the search sun salutation, that video will come up that walks you through it. It's not me doing it. It's one of the best videos I've ever seen on how to do it, though. And it's right there so people can follow along with it. So that's the number one. The next step is nutrition excellence daily. A smoothie takes 5 minutes to make. It's one of the best things you can start with your day with, as long as you use whole food. You don't juice. I don't believe in juicing. Juicing is where you're separating the fiber from the juice part, and you're just getting a high sugar drink, and then you're throwing out the fiber, which most Americans are lacking in the first place. So
right,
I believe
exactly.
In whole food. Yeah. So you either make a smoothie in a blender or a Vitamix, but you make it with all of the foods in their whole food form. So a smoothie is a great way to start the day, and I have a particular recipe, which I think we're sharing, aren't we? We're sharing that
recipe,
Peggy?
Yes.
So those are both five-minute recipes that are there, the smoothie recipe and the soup recipe. So, you know,
okay. You've
got two things right there. Yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
So, you know, start the day and end to the day.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the nutrition part. And then, I mean, there's so many things. Like I said, there's hundreds of strategies. These are just quick and easy ones that are off the top. The E for exercise, that part is so simple. If you have a rebounder, a mini trampoline, great. Get on that. Don't start with 5 minutes if you haven't been on it for a few years. Start with 1 minute the first week and then 2 minutes the second week. But if you've been using one for a while, 5 minutes on a rebounder does as much for you in five minutes as a 35 to 40 minute jog or fast walk.
That's
amazing. Yeah, now it's proven. Yeah, exactly. So if you're a person who's always saying you don't have time to exercise, I'm going to call your bluff here, because that is all you need on the rebounder is 5 minutes to get the benefit that you would get from all that walking. Now, I choose to walk 35 to 40 minutes a day because I love to be out in nature, but at least I know if I can't, I've got the rebounder that I use. And if you don't have a rebounder, you have a bed. Kids
right.
have known for years that beds and couches are great for jumping on. Not great for the length of or the longevity of your bed or your couch, but it's definitely an alternative to use if you have nothing else. In the hotel room, I know that they resent me because they have to make my beds every day because I use the bed as my rebounder.
I can just see my neighbors walking past saying, what is she doing jumping on the bed?
I know, exactly.
But I'm going to start doing it now. I'll get them talking.
Exactly. I mean, kids have known for years that this is the best thing you can do, right? They have.
Absolutely.
They probably don't know why. But
and we've all done it. I used to. That was one of my favorite things to do when I was a child, is jump on my mum's bed.
Absolutely. We knew inherently that this was fun and it was good for you. I mean,
right.
One of the things I remember at Tony Robbins' Life Mastery program was they had a whole area at the back of our study room, you know, the room where all the lectures were. They had 100 rebounders, I think, lined up and all together. And you could literally bounce your way around the room on the rebounders.
You know, so, I love that.
Yeah, it woke us all up. If we were starting to fall asleep, it would go get on the rebounders. So that's the one of the quickest exercises to regenerate yourself. And then we come to the R, and that's where you do the breathing I talked about, where I just stop everything in my day. I go put my feet up, or I go sit in a cross-legged position, which is actually what I prefer to do. But you can go put your feet up on a couch or lie down, whatever works for you, for 5 minutes. Put on a timer, set it for 5 minutes, put on some relaxing music, meditation music for 5 minutes. And then just breathe in to a count of four, hold to a count of four, and release to a count of four. And do that for 5 minutes until the bell goes off. And you'll be completely relaxed, and that's only 5 minutes. And then finally we come to the G. And my favorite practice with the G, there's so many I have so many that I use now. But the one that saved my life was writing in a gratitude journal. And I didn't know how to start, and I always tell my clients the same thing that Dr. Siegel told me. If you can't think of anything, write the same thing 5 times. And my first entry in my gratitude journal was, thank you for the sun, which you never get in Canada in the middle of winter. And it came out for 1 minute when I prayed to God and said, give me a sign. And so I wrote, dear God, thank you for the sun. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the sun. 5 times. But less than a month later, I wrote 137 gratitudes in 1 day.
Oh, wow.
And they were all different.
And the more that you start practicing, what I found and what I've always told my clients as well is when you start practicing the attitude of gratitude and you start with one thing and you start with something small, like maybe the only thing in your day that you're grateful for is that cup of coffee in the morning. And that's you're just sitting there and you're enjoying it to such degree, and that's, you know, that's maybe your few minutes that you've had to just sit and enjoy something, then be grateful for that. When you start with something small, how it can build up, because you'll start noticing things, you'll start seeing things, and you'll start feeling that attitude of gratitude that's resonating out of you, and you'll start experiencing so much more to have that attitude of gratitude about, and the universe will just bring more to you.
Absolutely. You know, it's a simple strategy. The law of attraction, what you focus on expands.
Exactly.
So if you're focusing on gratitude, it's amazing. I mean, we all know this in our own lives on an unconscious level most of the time. You know, it's like you get up in the morning, you stub your toe, and then you drop the coffee pot or your coffee cup, and you got this mess to clean up. And then the phone rings right when you're in the middle of it, and you slip along the floor and you fall on your ass. You know, whatever it is. You know, we have,
exactly.
Right? It's like one negative thing attracts the other, because it's like we go into that negative funk, and the energetic flow is that. Now, on the other hand, you get up and you make that organic cup of coffee and you sit down and the sun's shining through the window, or maybe it's a snowy day, you know, it's a cold snowy day, but you look out the window and you feel the warmth around you as you sip on your organic coffee, and you feel that sense of incredible gratitude for that. And then all of a sudden the phone rings and it's somebody that you've been trying to get hold of for at least a month, and they, you know, they just happen to call when you're available to talk to them, and you can both have this wonderful, meaningful conversation and sign off with love, and the whole day just kind of unfolds in that way.
Absolutely.
And for most of us, all it would take, and I forget myself, I am one of those frailty-based humans where I forget on some days to sit down when things are really riling me up and write a few gratitudes. But the minute that I remember, and I have a little sign on top of my computer now that says gratitude journal time, and I pull out my little gratitude journal, and it's not so little, but, you know, I pull it out and I write 5 gratitudes. That's it, 5. I don't need to do any more. Sometimes it might only be 3, and I already feel better. Right. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I just had an experience this Monday, and it was the same thing. We had a bombshell drop on us, and I'd had, you know, the greatest day. I'd woken up, I'd done my meditation, and I was a great day, and this bombshell hit, and you know, that frailty of that human earth bound, you know, mindset. And it was like, oh no, what are we gonna do? And this frustration. But the minute I sort of took a breath and sort of said, okay, hang on a second. I think what's happening here is this is something that's going to be good for us, and then let's turn this around and start being grateful and start practicing this attitude of gratitude. So where we were maybe angry and we were in this frustration and this stress, we turned it around, and how everything within 24 hours just fell into place exactly how it needed to fall into place. So it really is true, this whole, the law of attraction, and how it really comes down to how our attitude is. Everything is given to us as a test, and how we look at it and how we decide and choose to experience it is going to create for us what more we're going to attract. So we can either attract more of the negative and more of the fear and the worry and the stress, or we can turn it around and say, okay, you know what, I understand that this is a lesson. It might be an uncomfortable lesson. Change is always uncomfortable, but you know what, in the outcome, change might just be the best thing for us.
And generally speaking, it's something that we've been craving, but we weren't on a conscious level completely aware of it until it started unfolding, you know. And on that law of attraction, I know a lot of people got burned out, you know, after the movie, The Law of Attraction, they got burned out on that whole concept because it didn't cover all the bases. And so, fortunately, since then, a lot of people have stepped up to the plate and added in the missing pieces. But the truth is, it's not just about sitting waiting for things to happen, right? I mean, you got messages, and you, after you got that bombshell landing on you and decided you weren't going to go down that negative path, all of a sudden you started getting the inspiration about the actions to take that were appropriate.
That's right.
And you took them, right? You didn't sit there and go, okay, well, show me the way. You said,
yes.
Okay, I need some guidance. And the guidance came and you took action on the guidance. And I think that's the key we have to remember too. That's the missing link, really.
Yeah, I have a story of a client that I had many years ago. And I don't mention his name either because I know he would not be appreciative of this. But
right.
He'd been coming to see me for about 6 months. And for 6 months, he was in a really bad situation. He was really stressed out. And, you know, he was trying to find a job. And so we were putting in the law of attraction and all the universal laws into practice. And, you know, sort of teaching him and guiding him as I was, you know, trying to help him to navigate the situation and create a difference. And so he was putting all of that into effect. He was doing the manifestation. And he was really had it in his mindset. And he was starting to, you know, start visualizing, you know, as you and I spoke about the other day, not just about what we want and what we desire, but just sort of see ourselves in it and include the emotion in it. So I was really, you know,
yeah,
a little working on that. But every time he was coming to see me about once a week, and for 6 months this kept on going on, and nothing was happening. And I was like, I just don't understand. We're doing all the right things. You know, what's not going on? That what's going on that's not working? So finally I sat down and I said, look, you know, tell me exactly what you're doing. Tell me the steps you're doing every single day. So he's going through the steps that he's doing. And it finally just dawned on me. I said, are you actually putting out applications, or are you just trying to manifest that you've got a job? Because, well, I'm manifesting. I did exactly what you said. I'm sitting here every day, and I go into meditation, and I'm manifesting, and then I do my visualization, and I go into my, you know, my breathing exercises, and I calm myself down, and I relax, and I get into this really great attitude of you know, it's going to be a vibrant day, and nothing happens. I said, yes, but are you putting out applications? And he said, am I doing what? I said, are you putting out applications? And he said, no, I'm not doing applications. And I said, well, how do you expect anyone to know what you're about and who you are if you're not putting out applications? He goes, oh.
Right, exactly.
So he went home that day and he put out applications. He came back the following weeks, and he was so stressed out. It was the most stressed out I'd seen him in the whole 6 months. I said, well, what's going on now? He said, oh, Layla, you're not going to believe what happened. I put out these applications. Now I've got all these job offers, and I don't know which one to take. So now he had. So I said, okay, well, what we need to do is we need to sit down and evaluate this. And I said, let's write the list down of what exactly it is that you want. And he ended up finding a really, really good job with great benefits, great pay, and it got him moving out of the state, which is what he had hoped to attain. And so, once he started putting all the keys into effect, but, you know, I think a lot of times, especially, you know, with the movie The Secret and the book that came out, people would sit there and they would spend days on end sitting there and just trying to manifest things, and nothing was happening because they weren't taking the action, which is the key component, which really wasn't stressed in the movie or in the book. You have to take that action. You can't just sit there and expect that the universe is going to suddenly appear with this silver platter with your opportunity in front of you.
Exactly. I mean, what it may do is open up pathways for things to come to you, which is what I believe. And I also do believe that, you know, our energetic frequency, you know, it's like when you're stressed out, you're blocking the flow in your body. The same thing in your life. When you're stressed out about something, you're blocking the flow to you. And you're constricted, and so when you're constricted, nothing can enter. But when you release that constriction through, you know, the practices of meditation and so on, then you'll get the ideas, the inspiration, the nuggets of wisdom will start to flow through you from the source, and then you know it's up to you to act on them in whatever way seems appropriate at the time.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I wanted to sort of divert a little bit here, sort of a little bit on the same path that we've been talking about, but a little bit. I want to add a little something here when we talk about going back to talking about food and diet, and I wanted to ask you about, you know, what would you say that has created the change in your attitude through your diet? Like, has your diet helped you in changing your attitude, and has it helped you to open up spiritually? You know, being that you are predominantly raw vegan, how has that played in, and has it meshed together, and do you think that there is any significance in what you're eating compared to, you know, how you're living now, your attitude, obviously your energy? I mean, that's a huge aspect, but also spiritually and you know, just seeing the greater picture and the connection with things and such like that.
You know, that's a really interesting question, Layla, because I do believe that the food that we put in our body will either support us in living our spiritual lives more fully, or it will prevent us from. And I think it boils down to, I'm going to just use something real simple here. If you've got really great energy, then no matter how hard things get, you're always going to have a different perspective. You're going to be more open. You're going to have the energy to think more clearly with more clarity and alertness, so that you know, things that come to you, you can then act on. You also have the energy to act on what comes to you. But if you're eating a dead diet of foods that will literally stay on the planet for, well, we know at least 25 to 30 years for most of the burgers that you get in a fast food place now. They look the same and don't change in 30 years. I'm sure it's been, yeah, I think it'll probably be the same in 50 years. We'll have to check back in 50 years and see if they're still the same. But we've been watching a few burgers over the last 20 years and Twinkies. You know, I know a friend who has a Twinkie that I think is probably about 50 years old now, and it looks the same as it did, and it's still squishy. It's in its package.
Scary.
Yeah, very scary. Oh, yeah, I have this vision of people excavating in about 5,000 years from now, and they get down to a certain level, and they find these pockets that are mushy in the middle of all these rocks, because the rocks grew around these mushy balls, you know, that never die. And they're still, it's still edible, although they're not really edible, but, you know, they're still, you can still eat them. But,
right.
But anyway, you know, if you're living on food like that has no nutrient density to speak of, and definitely no life force, how can your cells be alert? I mean, how can they, one, function, but how can they be alert? So you've got a lot of things going on there where there's no ability for the cells to produce energy. Therefore, you have no energy, so the brain is, you get a fuzzy brain. You have no energy in your body to lift your arms, far less do any kind of physical activity. So to do anything is just too much of an effort. You know, I mean, think about people you know that you say, hey, let's go for a hike. Oh, I'm too tired. You know, yet the best thing they could probably do would be to have a really good smoothie that day with some green powder in it, or some green, or even better, have some real kale in it, and then go for a hike. It would change their whole day. But the point is that, yeah, if you're living on dead food, I mean, and I look back to when I was struggling to have energy in my life, when I was going through the cancer journey. Granted, initially it was partly due to the chemotherapy and other treatments, but eventually it was really due to the, you know, they kept telling me that I had to eat in order to gain weight. And so I was eating things that were not that, they didn't have any nutrition to speak of. And so, you know, overprocessed foods for calories. And we didn't know as much about fats and which ones were healthy and which ones weren't back in the 80s like we do now. It was kind of a new study at that time. But the point is that I couldn't think straight, and I didn't have any energy, and I was in a wheelchair, literally unable to walk. There's a big reason for that. I had no nutrition. And the minute that I started getting whole food, raw nutrition, even though it was in an ice chip form initially, you know, this Vitamix man, Jim, made this concoction with cantaloupe. And that was the first nutrition-based ice chips I'd had in months. And all of a sudden, over the course of 6 weeks, I started to have more energy. And then we hired a physiotherapist to work with me to, you know, get some muscles happening again. And then we added protein, because cancer is very catabolic. So we added it in the form of tofu and, you know, soybeans and, you know, tempeh and stuff like that. Initially, it was tofu and smoothies and soups, and then we added in tempeh later on. But the point that I'm getting at is that it was started real gradually, but it was real food. And within, you know, 6 months, I was doing much better. I was out of the wheelchair. Now, it took me another 6 months to feel semi-normal, and now I look back, and it's hard to even imagine that I was there. I believe very strongly that the reason some people have a tremendous amount of energy and others don't is because of what they're putting in their mouths, as well as activity. I think you have to be, you know, you have to get off your tush and do something. Like, that might be 5 minutes of rebounding. That might be all you need to do if that's all you can fit in. And if you could do it twice in a day, that'd be even better. And then do the sun salutation in the morning to get you going, and do the same sun salutation at night, but do it very slowly. I call that the moon salutation, but it's exactly the same sequence. And do that. And amazingly, that's, you follow those five keys and you're going to feel great. If not immediately, within time. But usually people feel an immediate shift in their energy. And right. Truly, nutrition is a foundation. If you don't have those nutrients coming in, you know, what's going to come out?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I'm definitely going to take that challenge, and I'm definitely going to do that. And I would love to have you come back. This has been such an inspiring and amazing show. The recipes that you have shared with us are going to be up on my website, thespiritualvegan.com. And I would love for you to come back and visit us again, because there is so much more that you can teach us and that we can talk about. And, you know, we've gone over on today's show with the time, but I would love for you to come back again.
I would be honored to, Layla. This has just been so much fun, so energizing. Yoo-hoo!
It has been. Yay! Now, you do offer different courses to individuals who are looking to create positive and healthy changes in their life. Would you please tell our listeners how they can contact you and learn more about what you have to offer? And what I'll also do is I'll also put those links up on, for your contact information, up on my website, thespiritualvegan.com.
Thank you so much for that opportunity, Layla. What I would do is just give people a couple of contact numbers. One is my 800-352-3443 phone number. So, again, that's 800-352-3443. And that's a good number to leave a message on if we don't answer. But it gets through to us, and we have a record of all the calls. And so that's one way. And the other thing that I have is a wonderful home study program for cancer patients and caregivers, and, in fact, anybody that really cares about their health. It really addresses those five keys, but in detail. It has everything, the play sheets, it even includes the digital copy of my book, Instant Energy. And that's at, it's the letters for, you know, all in capital letters, KICK. Cancer in the Can Total Health Toolkit. So it's the first letter of each of those words in capital letters after http://bit.ly. So that's bit.ly, but with a period between bit and ly, bit.ly/, and then KCITCHT, all in capitals. So it's, like I said, the first letter of each of the words, Kick Cancer in the Can Total Health Toolkit. And there's also...
I'll have that also on my website, too. So if our listeners didn't get that one, they can they'll have it on my website. And you have another website that they can find you at, or on Facebook as well?
I would say transformstressnow.com is great. It's got a ton of stuff on it. I mean, I have, you know, kickcancerinthecan.com and transformstressnow.com are my two primary websites, and they just really have a lot of good information, and, you know, both of them have blogs as well. So
Perfect. And finally, before we go tonight, I would love for you to leave us with a parting comment or a parting thought.
I will. One of my favorite statements is, you know, in life you can be a victim to all the circumstances, or you can be a victor. And which do you choose? Because it's always an individual choice. And once you make that choice, then you will begin to take the steps that will create being a victor in your life.
Wow. That is so poignant and just, wow, that's just mind-blowing. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Marilyn, and thank you all for listening to the Layla Her Hour. Please join me again next month and the first Sunday each month right here on Village of Abundance Radio. Until next time, I am your host, Layla Her, wishing you happy cooking, happy eating.
And if you like what you hear here or on any of the Village of Abundance Network shows, please like us. And also, remember to visit our sponsor at mentorsharbor.com.